First and foremost, I would like to thank the elders and Mark and Doug, although they are not here this morning, for allowing me a moment to share the pulpit a little bit and preach to you all here this morning. It's always a very, very exciting and a very good thing to be able to proclaim God's word, and I'm excited to be able to do that this morning. I did speak with both Mark and Doug to kind of see what would be maybe a good thing to preach about, and I know that they've been kind of continuing this theme of fellowship for some time now. And so I had this idea to preach to you this morning about what exactly happened between Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, and they thought that that would flow well with the things that they have been preaching concerning fellowship. And I don't have to tell you, both Mark and Doug have done a great job in continuing that theme. We've seen that fellowship many times in the church involves sharing. We see that in the early church in Acts chapter 2, right after the church was established. They were sharing their actual physical blessings, their own possessions with one another. Fellowship often involves unity. We know these things. Doug and Mark have covered them extensively now and have done a great job doing so. But what I want to talk about this morning, again, is with Paul and Barnabas, when fellowship, at least their fellowship, was threatened. And you know, many times I think that we feel maybe the same way with our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe sitting in the pew next to us. We know that we should be united. We know that we should be of the same mind. Paul says so in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, among other places. We know that we're to be united. Jesus, remember Mark preached on Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21, that we may be one as he and the Father are one. We know we're to be united, but what do we do now when someone maybe not necessarily has sinned against us? It looks as if that's what Doug is going to be speaking about tonight. What do I do when fellowship is broken and that person has sinned against me? How do I restore that level of fellowship? It looks as if that's what Doug is going to be talking about this evening. But this morning, what do we do when fellowship is maybe threatened? Maybe we've had a very sharp disagreement with our brother and sister in Christ. Maybe we don't see eye to eye about something, and we know that we should still be united. We know that we should still be of the same mind, but yet we have had this disagreement. We cannot get along. It's hard enough for us to be in the same building, let alone fellowship with one another. What do we do in that instance? Now, I don't have to tell you that any time that people get together, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreements. It just happens. Even with those that you love and respect the most. We're going to be looking at Paul and Barnabas. And you know, at one point in time, Paul and Barnabas, they were pretty close. They were the best of friends at the beginning, really, with Paul. You know, as soon as Paul becomes a Christian, it's Barnabas who's there, confirming that he actually has been converted. Paul and Barnabas going on several missionary journeys with one another. They, at one point in time, were very close friends, but now have this sharp disagreement. I've been married, Rachel and I have been married just a little over a year now, and many of you probably would still consider us to be newlyweds, but it's kind of funny to see exactly what gets on your partner's nerves in just a year. In just a year, you know that you have disagreements, you know you have certain conflicts, and I could probably tell you exactly some of the things that I do that just drives Rachel crazy. And I could tell you some of the things that I do that drives her crazy. Things like that just happen in marriage. There's conflict. There's fight. Not even in marriage. Even with your best of friends. You're not always going to get along with your best friend all of the time. There are going to be some times when you have conflict. Sometimes when you have fights. But hopefully, you're still best friends. Hopefully, even though Rachel and I and you may have conflicts with your spouse, hopefully you go to bed at night and you're still married. And you wake up the next day and you're still married. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have conflicts. It doesn't mean you're not going to have fights and arguments and disagreements. So what do we do in the church when that happens? What do we do when we're sitting next to our brother and sister in Christ and we know that we don't see eye to eye with them on certain things, but we know we still need to fellowship with them and we know we still need to be united? What do we do then? So let's look at Paul and Barnabas this morning. And first off, look at exactly what happened between Paul and Barnabas. Again, they were the best of friends. Things were great with them. They went on one missionary journey already. And so it is actually Paul who has this idea, and this agreement is formed now. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, Paul says, Barnabas, you know, we went on this one missionary journey, And it seemed to go pretty well. So let's go back to all of these cities and all of these places that we have already been to. And now let's go and visit these brethren now and see exactly how they're doing. So Barnabas agrees to do so. And now Barnabas has another idea. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, if you were to continue reading through that, you would read that Barnabas says, okay, let's go and let's visit these cities now, but let's take my cousin. We know it's his cousin. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us that. Barnabas says, let's take my cousin John, who is called Mark, with us. And so Paul, he hears that idea, and he says, you know what? I've got another idea. Rather than actually take John Mark with us, let's not take him with us. Paul has some issues with that. In verse 38, he actually tells us why he has some issues with that. Guys, I don't know if my... There goes my clicker. I told you not to play any tricks on me. I was getting worried for a minute. But Paul has another idea. He says, no, let's not take John Mark with us, because in Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, we read that he was on their first missionary journey with them, and he went home early. We don't know why, but for whatever reason, Mark decided to go home from that first missionary journey a little bit early, and maybe Paul saw something in Mark that maybe it's not a good idea if we take him back on this second missionary journey. And so there, you know, begins the sharp disagreement. In verse 39 of Acts chapter 15, we read, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they actually separated from one another. This disagreement was so sharp that Paul saw that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be taking Mark with us, Barnabas. And Barnabas is saying, this man is my cousin. Maybe he deserves a second chance. Maybe we ought to take him with us again. And this disagreement was so sharp now that Paul and Barnabas were not able to see past it. They were not able to see past this to the point where they could go and work and go on the second missionary journey together. There was indeed this separation. Paul said, okay, fine. You want to take John Mark, Barnabas, you go and you take him. And you go on a missionary journey yourself. Meanwhile, me, Paul, I'm going to take Silas and we're going to go on our own missionary journey. And so they have this separation. Paul and Silas go one way, when you have Barnabas and Mark going another way. Instead of one missionary journey being formed and being launched, now there are two. And we read through these verses this morning. Mr. Gary read through them already. And I think it's easy to see exactly what happened here between Paul and Barnabas. We can see that there was this disagreement. We can see that they decided to go separate ways. But I think it's equally important to talk about what did not happen between Paul and Barnabas. Because I think if we look at these verses and we look at this text in the book of Acts that Luke has provided for us, we could maybe read into the text a little bit and maybe try to look at these verses and try to get them to maybe say something that just isn't quite there. And first and foremost, I think what we absolutely have to understand, what did not happen between Paul and Barnabas, is a foundational disagreement. In other words, this wasn't a disagreement that they had where they absolutely had to be united. They absolutely had to agree on this issue, or there is no way they could be in fellowship with one another. That's not the case. This was something I believe that they could disagree about. This wasn't really doctrine. This wasn't really a foundational aspect of Christianity that they were disagreeing about. It wasn't as if Barnabas said, you know, Paul, I know that at one point in time I really believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I really believed that He was the Messiah and really believed that He was God in the flesh. But now I'm just really not thinking so anymore. So as we go on the second missionary journey, maybe we could preach a different message than that. No, it's not as if Barnabas was saying that. It's not as if Paul was saying, you know, Barnabas, I know we just had this meeting. If you read through Acts chapter 15, they had this meeting about now allowing the Gentiles to receive the gospel and to preach the message to the Gentiles. So what if Paul said, you know, Barnabas, I know we just had this meeting here, but I really think we should try to leave the gospel to Jews alone. Let's just not even include the Gentiles in this message. That's not the case at all. This wasn't a foundational disagreement here. This was simply a matter of opinion, maybe a matter of judgment, if you will. And I think a lot of times we can still have these in the church today. If we get new carpet in the building, you might have a different opinion about what color carpet we should get than what I would have. Say I have a disagreement maybe with the elders and say, you know, 5 o'clock just seems a little too early for me in the evening. Maybe we can push that back a little bit. And if they don't budge and we have a disagreement, that doesn't mean we're not in fellowship anymore. This isn't a major foundational disagreement. If anything, this is just an opinion. This is just a small judgment, maybe even an expediency, we often call it. Another thing that did not happen with Paul and Barnabas, and you'll know, and many times I think we try to look at this and we try to read into it that this is the case, is that you don't have anybody departing the church. It's not as if Paul is so upset with Barnabas, and vice versa, that Barnabas is so upset with Paul that one of them decides to leave the church altogether. Do you know somebody who's done that before? Maybe you've done that before, or maybe that's something we need to address at this time. Have you ever gotten so upset with a brother or sister in Christ that you think, I just cannot go and worship in the same building as that person anymore? I'm just not gonna be a faithful member of the church. I don't think that's what happens with Paul and Barnabas. In fact, I think if you look at these verses, you see they were both still on fire for the Lord. Yes, 2 missionary journeys were launched instead of 1, but it wasn't as if they departed from the church. And lastly, I want you to see this, and I think this is so important, understanding that this is an opinion, this is a judgment here. I don't think with Paul and Barnabas you have a clear right side and a clear wrong side. In fact, if we were to take a vote on it here this morning, here at Estes, there might be some of you who say, you know what, I think Paul was right in this disagreement. It seems as if Paul is being very logical. He's really thinking with his head. He understands that Mark already left them in the first missionary journey, and he just doesn't think that Mark should be included in this work, which is absolutely important. Maybe you can side with Paul a little bit. But at the same time, there may be some of you who say, no, I can see where Barnabas is coming from with this. Barnabas, who is obviously a little closer to Mark than Paul was, Barnabas was able to maybe see into Barnabas's heart, or rather see into Mark's heart, a little bit better than Paul was. Maybe Barnabas is saying, this man deserves a second chance, and Paul, you of all people should know that. Maybe you side with Barnabas. But the point is, I don't know if you could say that there is a clear right side to this argument and a clear wrong side. I think you can maybe see some truth on both sides of this argument, and many times I think that happens in the church. Many times we might have a disagreement about how something ought to be done, and there might be some things I say, and there's some truth in some things that I say, but you may also look at it from a different perspective, and you may also be able to bring some truth to the table that I did not consider. So when we look at what happened with Paul and Barnabas here, yes, they had a sharp disagreement. Yes, they definitely had a falling out of sorts. Now, what do we do when that happens in the church? And you know what? Maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, this guy's got no idea what I'm going through. He has no idea what disagreements I've had with people in the past. And you know what? You're absolutely right. So I would be foolish to stand up here and say, if you do this, this, and this, you're not going to have any disagreements with anyone ever. And if you do, you'll resolve them right away. No, that's not the case. I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what disagreements I've had with people in the past, and I certainly don't know what disagreements you may have right now or that you may have had with others in the past. But you know, there are a few biblical principles I see in Paul and Barnabas that I think we would be wise to take with us, whether or not we're currently having a disagreement with someone, or maybe we're not having one, but we need to be ready in case we have one in the future so that that fellowship, even though it's threatened, is not broken, because it is too valuable to risk. So in looking at some principles here and maintaining fellowship when it is threatened and when sharp disagreements occur, I think first and foremost we have to keep an open mind. We have to understand that my opinion, although I think it's right and I think that yours is wrong, we need to be willing to keep an open mind and think, you know what, just maybe, I might be wrong. And I know that that is so against what the world believes and how so many times the world reacts when we have two different opinions. But when I look at Paul and I look at Barnabas, I've got to believe that both Paul and Barnabas kept an open mind. And I say that because when you look at some of the later letters that Paul wrote, did you know what Paul said some things about Mark? When you look at the end of the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, I told you Paul is actually saying some very, very kind things there about Mark. When you look at 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy is believed to be the last thing that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And when you get to the end of that letter, it's amazing what Paul says about Mark. He says, "Bring Mark, he is useful to me for my ministry." Now, I don't know what happened to cause Paul to change his mind, but I've got to believe that Paul kept an open mind and at some point realized, you know what? Maybe Barnabas was saying something right about this guy, Mark. Maybe I couldn't see it at the time for whatever reason. Maybe I was blinded because of what happened in the past. But here is Mark. He's faithful. He's useful to me in my ministry. Bring him to me. When we have disagreements in the church over matters of opinion, now, remember that. We've got to keep an open mind. We've got to consider that just maybe, I might be wrong, and my brother and my sister in Christ might just be right. Whenever sharp disagreements occur, we got to keep brotherly love alive. And again, I think this is so against how the world often reacts when there's a disagreement or when there's an argument. Look at the political spectrum in our country right now. I mean, there is such a great divide, like I can never remember anyway. But although there is this great divide, many times when disagreements do occur, the first thing we want to do is attack the person who disagrees with us. We don't want to necessarily attack their opinion. We want to attack the person. And when it comes to the church, and when these disagreements occur, we've got to keep brotherly love alive. Because you know what? How is that going to look to the world? When disagreements occur, they attack each other, and then they come to Estes Church of Christ, and they see people disagreeing with each other about small little things, and they see that we still love each other. They see that we can still fellowship with one another. They see that we can still share it with one another and that we can continue as if nothing happened. I know that that's not an easy thing to do, and I'm not acting like it is. When sharp disagreements occur, it is so important for us to keep brotherly love alive. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 13 as he's sharing this Last Supper with his disciples. And he says in verses 34 and 35, essentially, the world is going to know that you are Christians, that you are my followers, based on your love for one another. And I think Jesus knew that they were going to have disagreements. I think Jesus knew that there was going to be conflict. But Jesus also knew that they needed to bring love to that conflict. They needed to bring love to those disagreements. And we need to be expected to do the same thing even today. This next thing, I don't know if you can necessarily see with Paul and Barnabas. I'm certain that Paul kept an open mind as he later saw that Mark was useful to him in his ministry. I'm certain that they both kept brotherly love alive and certainly did not slander one another and say horrible things about one another after this disagreement. But I don't know if you could say that they served one another, but I think this is certainly something that would be very, very wise to do if you have a sharp disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ. Think about Jesus in Luke chapter 22 for a moment, where they were also again sharing this Last Supper, and we read in Luke chapter 22 that the disciples, they had this disagreement. And it was this disagreement that they had over and over and over. They had this conflict. They had this argument over and over again. Who was the greatest? Jesus, who is the greatest? And do you know what Jesus does in response to that argument? He takes up a towel and he washes their feet. Now, I'm not saying that we should serve the people that we disagree with to maybe get ahead of them and to get back at them for disagreeing with us. But I think you're going to find it very, very easy to fellowship with the person you disagree with when you take the place of a servant and you choose to serve them. Because again, I think that is so against what the world does. The world says, if you disagree with me, I'm going to attack you. But if the church says, if you disagree with me, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you, you better believe that's gonna turn some heads. That's gonna get some attention. And that's what we need to be about here at the Estes Church of Christ. The Estes Church of Christ and everywhere. When we don't agree with one another, that doesn't always mean that fellowship is broken. In fact, many times it's not. Many times when we disagree with one another, it's not as if someone has sinned against me or I have sinned against someone else. Many times we're just gonna disagree about some things and how they're done. But we've got to remember to love one another. We've got to remember to serve one another. And lastly here, and this is perhaps my main point of the entire lesson, and if you've kind of been zoning out, kind of haven't been tuned in the whole time, tune in for this, because this is my point. When you look at Paul, and when you look at Barnabas, yes, they had this disagreement. Scripture says that it was sharp. They did not agree with one another, and they couldn't even see themselves working with one another anymore, it would seem. But that does not mean that they stopped serving the Lord. And many times, when we have a disagreement with someone, that could be our first reaction. I'm so fed up with so-and-so and their opinions and how they disagree with me all of the time. I just can't stand to do this anymore. We can't have that thought. When we have disagreements with others, we cannot stop serving the Lord. And Paul and Barnabas, they had this disagreement. They did not see eye to eye about John Mark and where he stood in their missionary journeys, but you know what? Neither Paul or Silas stopped serving the Lord. And when it comes to fellowship, we can fellowship with people we maybe not agree with absolutely everything about, but that fellowship can only continue if we're still about our Father's business. Our disagreements with one another cannot tear us apart and cannot keep us from serving the Lord and cannot keep us from being about our Father's business. And you know, maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, this guy still doesn't get it. He has no idea what I've gone through. He has no idea what so-and-so has said about me and how they've sinned against me. And you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe someone actually has sinned against you, and maybe fellowship actually has been broken. And maybe tonight when Doug speaks about that, that's going to mean a little bit more to you than what I've said this morning. But maybe, just maybe, you've had a disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you've had a conflict that was very sharp. Maybe it really put a strain on your relationship with one another, and maybe it drove you to the point where you are no longer even interested in serving the Lord. You are no longer even interested in being about your Father's business. And if that's the case, why not do something about that? If maybe your relationship has been strained so much, and although maybe no one has sinned, but it's driven you from being about your Father's business, why not renew that energy? Why not renew that zeal and be about your Father's business again today? And you know what? Maybe you've never really actually said, okay, I want to dedicate my life to Christ. I want to do things the right way. I want to give everything to Him, do things His way. I am a sinner. I have messed up on my own. I need help. I need forgiveness. If that's you, you can join the church today. You know, out in the world, we've said so many times, when disagreements occur, love goes out the window. I don't care what my brother or sister in Christ thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do. In the church, we need to seek to serve one another, to love one another, even when we don't always agree with one another. And so if you want to be a part of that church and you want to be a part of a movement of God's people, you can join that movement this morning. You can be baptized into Christ. You can have your sins washed away, and you too can be about your Father's business. If you are here this morning and you need prayers from the church, you need to be baptized, you need anything at all, please come forward while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.